It's Crosswalk here on AM 980 The Mission, the Twin Cities Christian voice. I'm Lee Michaels. Our guest, John Byron Shank. His book, The Root of Shame, The Deal We Make with Evil. And the bumper music coming in on the last breaks. Also, Mr. Shank. Nice stuff. I would throw you a little... A little boner. I'm enjoying that. So yeah. Nice job, John.
Thank you. That's from the last album.
Yeah.
Ethos.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you. I'm glad it's kind of fun to hear myself.
Well, again, if people want information on the book and on your music and your art, johnbyronshank.com. And do you speak at churches and perform at churches too?
Well, I used to a lot. Now, you know, I'm 73, so the old digits don't do what they used to do. But I still like to write and record.
Yeah, it sounds great. We'll appreciate it. Yeah. Well, let's get back into this. I was just leading up to the question. You talked about the sin systems that we have, and you know may or may not be easily recognizable. So how do we find them? How do we recognize these sin systems? And then what do we do with them? How do we change our thinking to alleviate that shame or that sin?
Excellent. That's what the book is about. One thing, I am a pastoral counselor and teacher at Metro Hope, which is an addiction recovery in-house facility. And one of the things that this book came about as a course I teach on shame. And one of the things that I do is an inventory. People familiar with the big book know that step four has various inventories you can do.
Yeah.
But I felt like I came to see over the years that the shame issue was the biggest for me because I have an addiction past as well. So we start with an inventory, and it is, and I'll tell you how it works, and then we'll go into what we do with it.
Yeah.
So first of all, there's seven columns. The first column is my shameful memories. And I ask all the people in the class to write down 30 to 40 shameful memories because they are valuable. Now, they do not go across. They only go down. The first time, they just do those memories. And there is just to be a raw memory.
Okay.
Like, and it can be simple, like what I did to Arlene or Joe after the party. You know what happened.
Yeah.
You don't have to expose it. And I never ask my students to divulge their 30 to 40 examples because I want them to be fearlessly honest with themselves. So I'm not going to shame them by having them read things. And obviously, just for fairness here, while the deal we make with evil is the part that is really the destructive aspects of shame, a lot of people have shameful things happen. I have personally had some traumas happen to me that were humiliating and shameful. And many of my students also have things that were not their fault that came upon them, but left it was a gouge of their dignity. That's a big shame wound.
Yeah.
And so that is also in this. So in the first column, things I did to others and things that were done to me are listed. Then you go to column two is how was I hurt? How was the other person hurt? Depending upon what the thing is. And then how did I get revenge or console myself? What did I wrongly believe about me? Because that's an effect of it.
Yeah.
How was God's truth corrupted? And then finally, what is the biblical truth? So we start there.
That's a great way to do that because anybody can relate to that because we've all done things that we feel shame about or feel shameful for, regardless of what it is. I mean, we all have a sin nature. We've all experienced some of these things. I come up with a few, you know, right off the top of my head while you're going through this. I mean, what a great exercise.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. It's eye-opening.
Yeah. Okay. So the shame inventory becomes the raw database and that we work with. By chapter six in the book, we start to do something with that when the actual chart is filled in.
Yeah.
We are looking for repeated behavior. Now, here's what's key. The way God designed the human brain it can do so many things. It can think, it can reason, it can imagine, it can do all kinds of things. But in order to conserve energy for the brain, once we have learned a thing, it gets parked in the unconscious mind so that we can have more conservation of energy of our brain to solve problems and so forth. Mm-hmm. So once we've learned a thing, it's in the unconscious mind. And what happens is when we are making willful choices to disobey God and form conceits, these get packed into these little sequences, which I call trigger loops. So what that means is when situation number one comes along, I've already have a learned XYZ response.
Yeah.
When situation two comes along, I've got an ABC response and so forth. And the brain normalizes this. So yeah. The enemy is crafty. Now, this is not being lazy. The brain is designed to store learned behavior like an app, you know, that automatically fires in a certain situation.
I totally can relate to that. It's sort of that defense mechanism that we have where there's times I find myself saying something or it comes out of my mouth before I've even really thought about it. You know, guilty as charged. And it's sometimes very tough to get a grasp of that.
Yeah. And sometimes I say, how did I end up here again?
Yeah.
I know better than that.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Why did I choose another person just like the last person I dated?
Yeah.
Why did I do that again?
Yeah.
And so forth. But okay. So what that entails, it has some steps to it. There's a trigger which draws on past memories. And then when an event similar to something that happened before happens, there is an interpretive process. There's an interpreter that makes it mean something that I have learned to make it mean, which may not necessarily be true. Then out of that is a conceit which was formed to give me permission to do a false payoff. And so there's an agenda that gets worked into this in order to have the false payoff, but in the end we get consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And consequences are the mercy of God, because when we have become heedless and have said no to wisdom and logic and good sense and righteousness and all the rest of it, the only thing left for God to appeal to us with is consequences to keep us from going off the cliff into hell.
Yeah.
So we hate our consequences, but like the prodigal son, he finally said, the pigs are eating better than me. If I was a servant at my dad's house, I'd eat better than that. I'll just do that.
Yeah.
And so when his father saw him come, and he took it from there. So we start to look for, as an exercise, sequences. There might be 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 examples in our chart that have the same payoff and the same conceits and so forth.
Right.
And so we start to see this is a significant pattern. Then those are called trigger loops. And then we construct a loop breaker. And I'm going to give you an example of this in a minute. The loop breaker is when I'm triggered, I must question my usual interpretation.
Makes sense.
If the interpretation is false, reject it. If the interpretation is true, what can I learn from it? I must replace the self-serving conceit with what God really wants me to do, because that's the reparative part of it. And then that truth helps me to avoid the false payoff and the consequences. So that's how I'm going to give you an example. It'll be easier to understand. This is going to be a simple one.
Sure.
When I experience this trigger, no one ever calls me.
Mm-hmm.
I interpret that to mean people don't like me. So I have the right to this conceit. I will always be rejected and alone. Now that's self-serving, because it sets me up, which gives me permission to pursue the false payoff. So I get to isolate and drink. But the true payoff or the consequence is, people don't want to be around me because I'm an angry drunk.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's interesting that the interpreter kind of is fulfilled. The devil wants to reinforce the interpreter, because the consequence you're going to get is going to make the interpreter seem true.
Right. Yeah. It's
All
just
right.
a big
now,
loop, like you
loop?
Said.
Yeah, it's a loop, and we it's amazing how many times we just fall into this because we haven't even realized we can question this process or that this sequence is even going on.
Yeah,
because we've normalized it. So
absolutely.
The inventory helps kick these up.
That's great. You know what? We're up against the clock here. I want to keep you for another segment if you can, because I want to get into how we break that loop. I mean, we could probably do a whole week of shows on this,
I'd love to.
Which I think is great. But let's come back. If you can stay one more segment, we'll do that. Again, we're joined with John Byron Shank. JohnByronShank.com is the website that you can get information on his book, The Root of Shame, The Deal We Make with Evil, and on his music as well. But we've got another copy of the book we'll give away right now, 651-289-4499, 651-289-4499. Be the first caller here to John on Crosswalk. We'll be right back.
And I'm close to the dying time. Darkness will not have me.